going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick with a report from the rookie minicamp for the Ravens on May 4th, 2025. Just went out to it, came back. Ominous weather today, but just a little bit of brief rain. We did go inside for the interview session, but generally a very pleasant. I'd trade that weather for anything we have in the summer, typically here in Baltimore and certainly out there at the castle. It's a very difficult thing following exactly who's on the field at minicamp. You're given a roster which has 36 players on it, and that includes the Ravens draft picks, of course, some returning first-year players. Those are players who were on a practice squad somewhere, possibly with the Ravens last year. I'll give you a few examples. Corey Bullock, Darian Dalcourt, Dayton Wade, Zaire Mitchell-Payton, CJ Ravenel. You probably remember some of these names from last year as being with the Ravens. And it also has, like I mentioned, all the draft picks. And then all the guys have been signed to an official undrafted free agent deal, or at least we think so. There's also about another 30 guys who are there on a tryout basis that are wearing numbers that you have no idea who they are. So it's weird. You're always, one of the first things you get when you go to camp is you get a roster. You check exactly who's there and everything. You can't do that. You can't take attendance in the same way. You can look only for the 36 players that they have as either draft picks or UDFAs. So that was surprising to me because one of the players that's missing is one of the guys I've been very excited to see play is Nash Hutmaker, the nose tackle from Nebraska. Somebody said they thought he was a tryout guy. But John Harbaugh, when asked about it at the podium, said no, he thought he was signed. And then he pulled out, it is very interesting, a laminated card he had in his pocket. So it must be obviously something relates to the individual players that are there and gives him a first name to use or whatever it may be. But he's got a lot of players he's got to remember too. And he did think that Hutmaker had been signed. But anyway, very confusing. And as you're watching things go on, you can look at individual players. It's much harder to really get the flow of the offense going. I mean, you can see what's happening in a very general sense, obviously, just like you're watching any football game without knowing who the players are. But, you know, my analysis of the game is usually based on knowing what players are doing and you know, in some cases, what to expect from them and, certainly wanting to follow certain players. You can do that with the draft picks. You can't do it with the others. Anyway, enough said. First thing I watched was some defensive line drills. Dennis Johnson was a defensive line coach, had individual advice for Hutmaker and Jason Jones, both who were in that that battle for the nose tackle, the backup nose tackle spot that ought to be, I would think, one of those two guys making the team will be the final result. Certainly possible they could bring in a player from outside the organization. They had a lot of drills on movement, and this practice is largely teaching rookies what the drills will be when they come to camp. So it's a bunch of guys, and some of them have been there before, and they're just they're having a remedial class in these drills again after being in camp last year. And most of the others, they've had some similar form of these drills, probably done at a college level, but this is something new, and it's the way it's the Ravens way, and they want to teach it in these rookie mini camps. So Dennis Johnson did some individual, I'll call it drill advice that he handed out. Probably some of the most interesting stuff was when they were trying the one armor is longer than two drill, where you're really trying to get the defensive lineman to extend into the chest plate of the opposing player and do so with one arm and then shed. That was it was interesting to watch that. I don't remember seeing that before, but I'm sure I probably have it at some point. Anyway, the defensive line, certainly some interesting things going on, but it's all just learning how to do drills. I went over to the offensive line, and I thought that was the time best spent during the day. So George Warhop, very, very vocal now. Travell Wharton, very much a presence in the background as opposed to being guys up at the line of scrimmage, really coaching. Warhop got very upset at one point during practice with the way players were lining up. He said, you know, I'll try and quote this as directly as I can, and we don't have a limitation on profanity, which is good, but basically he said that people were effing wasting his time, and you know, line up the way I tell you to, you can probably expand on that as you see fit. You spent a lot of time on combination blocks. This is something always I think of in the Joe D era as being done very much one at a time. Warhop sets it up in a way that's very efficient, or as efficient as it can be for him to watch every single block. He says, you know, each of you line up, you know, two on one on a guy that's holding a pad. Another offensive line gets pad duty, and two of them, usually a center and guard, are there together to make a combination block on that player. And he sets up three in a row, and then he watches three in a row go. One of the things that's really apparent is that he has a tremendous investment in Carson Vinson. You probably saw the video that the Ravens put out, which has the usual people, Eric and then John Harbaugh talked to the individual, and then to Carson Vinson. And then George Warhop got on the line, and Harbaugh mentioned before he did that George Warhop's been the one banging the table for you, kind of thing. And then they had a brief conversation, but clearly they'd talk before. He goes, you know, you're going to have to get to work. You're going to come here. You're going to get to work. Harbaugh mentioned, by the way, at the podium, and I'll forget this if I don't mention this now, that Vincent really needs to get in the weight room right away and put in the work. I think there's no doubt in my mind he's not going to see the field this year. He's at least a full year away from being there. And the Ravens kind of cemented that in a way by signing Joe Noteboom, a guy who's played 7 years or so with the Rams. Never had a ton of snaps, but he's been up to about 500 snaps and change, I think, in his most of in a season, which is, you know, it's getting close to 10 games played, 9-10 games played. He's I'm sure he's had more games than that, but I'm talking about games worth of offensive line snaps. So getting back to the Warhop Vinson thing, though, he literally gave Vinson advice after almost every rep he watched. So, I was able to catch some of the wording. It's like, what's your aiming point? He's talking about where is he putting his hand on the opponent. Another time he was kind of slow. He almost was leading with his body instead of getting his hands out there. He said, got to get your hands out front. You know, he wants to get Vinson making first contact with that opponent. He had apparently more advice about him setting up too high on a play, but literally every rep he watched of Carson Vinson's, he had something to say about it to Vinson. So very clearly, George Warhop has an investment. Reminds me a lot of the relationship between Daniel Faalele and Coach Joe D last year. Is Joe D clearly, that was his guy. That was his project. That was somebody he wanted to really see work at. I doubt nobody took it easily when Joe D was lost, but I imagine Daniel had some, was one of the most impacted by it, given the relationship that they had. I see that immediately between Warhop and Vincent. And I hope that Vincent, you know, can stay on schedule with what I think is at the earliest a 2026 NFL debut. Possibly could be still 2027, but ideally it would be 26. Next year he'd be taking the role that Note Boom has as a backup offensive tackle, and then in 27 he potentially could take over as a starting offensive tackle if things go well. So anyway, the investment in Vincent, very clear. And you know, if you look at him physically, he's proportional, I will say. And he kind of looked that way in college too, but he's not carrying around a ton of flab. He's just not got a particularly powerful upper body. And that's something he's really going to need to work on. He just does not have NFL grown man strength at this point. As Warhop's going through this, he also had some time he spent with Dellinger. So that's the seventh round draft pick out of LSU, guard center prospect. I think there could be big plans for Dellinger. I think potentially he could be a guy who takes over for Linderbaum in 2026 if Linderbaum can't be signed. Certainly he's a guy that they want for offensive line depth this year. They have a ton of offensive linemen at this thing. They had, well, I'll count this up really quickly here. They had 9 guys listed on the as offensive linemen, but they had probably another 4 guys there who aren't listed, who are just tryout invitees. So Bunyan, for example, is in that group. He's the guy that I suspected might have been either a fullback, or I heard another really interesting idea that I think is probably right on the money, is Bunyan may be a guy who has an offensive line background and a defensive line background that they might want to get in as a 6th defensive lineman / 8th offensive lineman in a game, because of the way the NFL rules are set up. Your 8th offensive lineman, if he can do something else for you, that has tremendous value. So that'd be an interesting possibility. Bunyan has not played well at offensive guard in his time at Maryland, so I'm a little bit dubious about that possibility. I thought the fullback possibility was also it's conceivable. He doesn't have the same kind of athletic build that Patrick Ricard does that would seem like it would make an easy conversion to fullback. He's got a ways to go. So anyway, we'll see if Bunyan is still around by camp time. I the last comment I'll make about the offensive line is that Emory Jones arrived very late on the field. He was standing behind the other offensive linemen during drills, took his time moving around a little bit. But Harbaugh said he was not able to practice yet. And apparently there's some sort of a labrum problem he was going through. He expects him to be back for camp, but said they wouldn't rush it. So Jonah Schaefer asked a question about it. You can listen to his response if you want to go out to the Ravens interviews. I think that's the easiest way to handle some of that stuff. But I did not realize that Emory Jones was dealing with a medical situation currently. And that's obviously unfortunate. I moved over. I watched Tyler Loop make some kicks. So he's a very big dude for a kicker, much larger than Justin Tucker, for example. Has a big booming foot, and the ball travels very high. I think the Ravens probably like that. Obviously, the more elements you have, the less you'd like that. But I think they like to see a ball that's not going to be blocked, for example. And so he was sky high kicks. And a lot of times they were so high, you couldn't even really tell where they were relative to the upright. So he might have missed a kick. He was just lining up. There was no offensive line in front of him. It wasn't set up as a kicking play, not with a direct snap and all that. It was just he was kicking from a tee. And one of the kicks went, more or less over the upright in a way that it was very difficult to see. He also put a ball on the roof that stuck there of the indoor practice facility. So that the castle is the kind of the front side, and then the backwards a poking L shape of that is the indoor practice facility. He put the ball up on that. They have a bunch of construction going on out there, so they don't kick in the direction they have in the past. They've got the goalposts set up in the kind of between fields one and two, and then three on the other side. So they have three straight goalposts there. It's like they're going to bring in 20 kickers at once and look at them. But anyway, they have three goalposts there to deal with. I would say, you know, one of the things that you know about Justin Tucker is how pretty his ball is in terms of end over end rotation when things are going right. And so he certainly has done that in the past. Last year was a lot of kicks drifting left on him for the ones that were missed, generally speaking. But Tyler Loop has a little bit of right to left natural drift to his kick. You definitely do not see the same kind of end over end action. You see I'm going to say it's like 12:30 and 6:30 to the orientation of the ball as he kicks it. And there is some natural right to left, right? It might be 12:15 and 6:15, but
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
It's noticeable. And you do notice the kick actually drifting from right to left too. He had one where he tried to aim it to the left side of that goalpost when he was forced to kick from the left hash. But generally speaking, he has to adjust for a slight left to right motion in his kick. Randy Brown was there talking to him at midfield. Too far for me to hear anything, but he's holding the ball in the air like an egg, and he's obviously must be showing him something about a striking point on the ball with his finger that was on the other side of it. I couldn't see exactly what was going on, but it's a coaching moment, and it's good to see Randy directly trying to influence somebody like Tyler with all the experience he has in terms of dealing with kickers. There was another kicker there as well, and I don't have his name. I know that there was a tryout kicker signed, but he's not on the roster they gave us today. And he looked okay too. Between them, they missed, I think, one kick that was wide left on the day. But he looked decently. He looked decent. Then there's not a whole lot of all 22 action on this, or of 11-on-11 action, I should say. There's some 11-on-colors action for the offense. But there's 11-on-11 action at the end of practice, and very little to see offensively. Devin Leary is the most senior quarterback there. He was inaccurate today. I saw two nice adjustments to the football by number 10, who was a tryout player that I am not familiar with, who reached back to find the ball. One time he literally had to turn around, and the defender kind of fell by the play, and he made the catch. Defenders today really trying to not make contact. That's obvious. They want to play a kind of a half effort, let the offense run their game, and are not trying to obstruct or intercept balls that I could see. So anyway, I number 10 made two adjustments. But the guy, the star by far from an offensive perspective was Dayton Wade, who was all over the field making plays. I'm not sure why, but both quarterbacks seemed to have him as a favorite target. It might have been even more quarterbacks than that, but they had, other than Devin Leary, everybody is there strictly on a tryout basis. So, I am not able to identify them. Defense. Let's talk about the defense a little bit because I got a chance to see the draft picks. Malachi Starks looks like he's going to probably play exclusively free safety. If this rookie minicamp is any indication, he's lining up back end. It's not like he never moves towards the line of scrimmage or anything like that, but it looks like they're trying to make a free safety out of him. That's good because that means that they get what they want out of the draft pick in terms of being able to have Kyle Hamilton move back up front. Most of his day was just running around to get in the right spot. He looked pretty effective at that, but it's really hard to judge. They did have a nice bracket of Dayton Wade with longer beam underneath and Malachi Starks on top. And then the two players kind of held up and didn't contest the ball due to the non-physical nature of the practice. I'll get to that a little later in terms of Harbaugh's comments about it, because he had some interesting things to say, and it's very different at this first learn the drills kind of practice. He actually called it a rehearsal. Then you would see in a regular practice where there's some brother-in-law play, but they start, you know, going a little bit harder at each other's, or a padded practice, which is the next level, or a padded practice with another team, which is the next level still, right? But that's one level below a game. So this didn't have any of those physical aspects. And one of the things they were really trying to avoid was contact between people in the secondary and receivers. And so that nice bracket that Starks and Longerbeam had, they didn't try and press it for an advantage or a tip ball or anything like that. Who else do we want to talk about? On defense also, Mike Green. Well, he looks very big. Okay, you get a sense really at the podium of just how big the guy is. He's not tall, not super tall, very, very muscular. So he's I don't know if I'd say he's as honed as a player like, say, Za'Darius Smith was when he came into the league. He was rock hard when he got right in the league. But Mike Green looks like he's ready to play in the NFL right now. He had questions at the podium. A number of them were about sexual assault as opposed to football. He still seems to be, you know, as patient and trying to answer these questions as he can be. But the last question of the day might have come from Gianna Han or one of the other women that was there. I thought it was Gianna, who said something about, asked more about how do you respond to the allegations, blah, 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 kind of thing. And he said, that's a great question. And then he basically didn't answer it. He talked about looking forward, looking at what the next steps are. How do I do this? He didn't want to go back. And there has been coaching involved in terms of his interview comportment. But he's not going to basically, I think, give the media anything. And so it's kind of frustrating. You're a real football guy trying to ask real football questions. And pretty much everything is about sexual assault. I understand the importance of the issue. I just wish we could get to some football with a really talented player like Mike Green. Go over some of the other interviews briefly. Harbaugh had a number of things. He explained why Emory Jones was not practicing with the labrum thing. Talked about the Joe Noteboom signing. Talked about the nature of the practice as a rehearsal and not a practice. He wants to see the players line up fast. And then he wants to see them come off the ball fast, but still not be competitive on the snap. So a couple different things he was really asking for. He said Malachi Starks was the player who broke the practice ending huddle. So that's an honor of sorts and good for Malachi. He was asked about joint practices, and this was a good question. They've talked to apparently the Tampa Bay Buccaneers about the possibility of doing that. But the NFL controls the schedule. And that drives, of course, when they can do this practices. So I guess they want to do it before the second preseason game. I think that's the one they want to do it before. And they can, you know, whoever their opponent is, then it's set by the NFL. And they probably are able to make some requests, but that doesn't mean they can get everything they want. And so they have to kind of wait on deciding on who their opponents will be for joint practices until they see who the opponents are for the game. He was asked a little bit about Justin Tucker and Tyler Loop being in the building together. He mentioned Justin had been there the last couple of weeks, kicking again and being around. Tyler Loop obviously in today, but he'd been in for a few days, I think now, at least a couple. And was there any problem with having them both in the building together? I don't think there's any indication that there's a problem, but it's kind of a novel situation here that the Ravens, have spent a draft pick on Tyler Loop, and they have this long relationship with Justin Tucker, and he doesn't know exactly where he stands. He mentioned that there's nothing back from the league about the nature of the investigation, and that they would have to wait on that at the least. And he said, yeah, a whole bunch of other things go into this, the salary cap and the fact we drafted Loop in the fourth round, et cetera, et cetera. You can listen to his whole response, but there wasn't a whole lot of new information there. Zay Flowers, he mentioned, did not have knee surgery. We thought he might after he left the playoff game. Playoff game or week 18, whichever it was, he did rehab and physical therapy, but did not go the surgical route this time. So hopefully he's ready fairly soon. Talked about the rookies being more prepared than ever. So, rookies come from college programs now, which look all more and more like pro programs as the years go by. And those rookies are very prepared when they get here for their first practices. And then he was asked about Hutmaker, and he thought he was signed as a UDFA. I did too. So that is at least a match, but he started to look on that laminated card, which is just, it was a cool thing. I really would love to see what's on that laminated card, but I'm guessing it's names and numbers and whatnot that you can go with. All right. So next up at the stand was Aeneas Peebles. Not a lot to say. He was asked a couple questions about having a chip on his shoulder. He just said, haven't heard much about it since the comment that he put out there on Twitter, which is fairly basic. It's, all those teams going to be upset they didn't draft me kind of thing. I'm sure any player could put out such a tweet, but not everyone does. He said he's named after Aeneas Williams, the former All-Pro safety. Finished his career with the Rams, but he played effectively with the Rams, but he's played other places as well. So it was just an interesting tidbit of information. Mike Green answered questions about whether or not it was tough waiting on draft night. He didn't say anything negative. Obviously, he seems to be keeping receipts on the fact that all other of the 32 teams passed on him other than the Ravens. The Ravens kind of passed on him once to get him in round two. Doesn't seem to be particularly happy with the call that unfortunate that he wasn't drafted in round one, but I think that he's very much seems to be locked in on this opportunity with the Ravens and not rehashing what happened to make him be a second round draft pick. I'm not sure all other players would have the maturity to look at things from that perspective. I think that there is a, it takes a certain maturity to get there. All right, let's move on. Last guy at the stand was Malachi Starks. He had an interesting answer on how he processes football. It's a question I asked him, but he says he looks at the others in the secondary, and that's kind of relational in terms of his positioning. Then he looks at his run fits and what the other defenders are doing. And then he looks at the offense and what they're trying to accomplish. So it's a very much a back to front view of the game, but also one that I think, having a nice graduated, but specific process by which you process things that are on the field is a very good thing. And I can see why he was so impressive to the Ravens in terms of the interviews and in terms of their glowing comments about his football intelligence. So Anyway, Malachi was the last one at the stand. It ended up practice. Went kind of long in terms of how long we were out there, but no complaints there. Just great to be back at the facility and seeing actual football being practiced. And next time, it'll be that much more real and that much more physical in terms of the practice before the camp starts up and the preseason then gives us the ultimate physical test for some of these players who otherwise will not see further NFL action, whether that means they're headed to the roster but never be active on game day, like a Carson Vinson will probably be this year, or whether they may get their lone shot playing football in this coming camp for the Ravens. Some of them got their lone chance as a tryout on this because they can't bring back all these players. There's way, way, way too many. But they might find somebody they like, and they may sign them as well. Anyway, real interesting. I wish the Ravens had a roster of the invite players, but they don't, and that is one mildly frustrating component to this. All right, that's going to do it for this show. Thanks for all the listens, folks. Really appreciate all the listens on the draft coverage, in particular, all the nice comments you've had afterwards. This is also the best season to hit me up with an idea for a film study short and get that recorded and put out there while there is a lull in the action that really lasts with a few spotty segments from the mini camp and OTAs until camp breaks or camp opens in late July. So between now and late July, that's a 3-month period, essentially. I'm looking for content from other sources. We will have the expectations series coming up, but if you have something you'd like to talk to me about that you're passionate, make sure you hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. That's it. I'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.